So we're here today to talk specifically about the original prototype that led to the Spun project. So perhaps, Mark, if I can start by asking you, what was the studio's initial interest in metal spinning, and how did the project initially start?
It's such a lovely process. It's kind of a magical thing where you end up with a flat sheet of material, and then suddenly you create a volume with it, and it's a very rich process and a good one to tap into.
And how did you come across Anthony's work, or the existence of his workshop, and how did that relationship begin?
Well, I think we had a problem finding anyone who would listen to that initial phone call. We want to do a big thing, 4 or 5 or 6 parts. Are you interested? What's the budget? And Anthony just sounded fantastic. He obviously had this history, and he was very enthusiastic and just appeared to be the right man for the job. So
it was very difficult to find somebody to do it. But the nature of my what I do, I'm just interested in stuff, and I can walk away and just work out how I'm going to do it. So I didn't know what it was. So I came and had a meeting. So we went through it. I said, okay. Absolutely imperative from Mark's point of view. It had a hole all the way through the middle. That didn't make it easy, you know. So I'm making the prototype up and the shell as you see it. And I said, can we just get away without this hole? No, Thomas wants a hole. And so it was a process.
So just to understand the process, you start with a flat sheet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how does that end up?
Well, what you do, you have a block of wood. You get a block of wood, and that's pattern made. You turn it up to the shape with templates that were supplied by Heatherwick Studios. The circle of metal, it's actually cut into a circle, in this case it was 2 mil aluminium, is then formed as the machine's going round. It looks like a wood turning lathe, but with a T-rest on it with pegs. And you have a tool under your arm, and as the machine's going round and the metal's going round, you form it.
So it's some brute force to push.
So yeah, kind of brute force underneath your arm, yes. Wow. And that gave you the shape of one component.
So Mark, you must have worked very closely with Anthony to sort of go up to the work to the workshop and see the process happening.
Yes, I think Stu and I went up for an exciting trip up to the workshop where Anthony, and it's exactly as I imagined it was. It was a smallish shed full to the rafters with shelves of interesting things. No idea what they were, but there was just endless amounts of things. And at the end of this shed, there's this rather ominous looking machine, which Anthony steps up to without any fear. And it was quite terrifying to watch. I mean, part of the fun of all of these projects is visiting the places where they happen, because it being in that environment automatically, you know, you're visually feasting on all the kind of peripheral things that are there within this space that's doing maybe one or two specific jobs, and it can't help but influence you. So you come back with a bit of a spring in your step and thinking about possibilities. And I mean that's probably the kick of going to manufacturing.
So Mark, I guess there was a long period where the studio were finalising that profile shape, passing it back and forth with Anthony, and there are all these subtle variations involved in making sure that the finished object worked properly as a chair.
There comes a point, I think, in the design process where you either go extremely high-end and talk to very expensive companies and do things with CNC, but it just wasn't appropriate for this project. And so the first prototype, which I believe is in the show, was the plasticine
the wooden
version.
So
I think that's one of the first jobs I did when I joined the studio, which was to try and, you know, the notion of a rotationally symmetrical chair throws up a few problems. So the seat has to become the back and vice versa. So to find a shape that's going to kiss both of those areas, let's say, in a comfortable manner is quite a challenge. So the plasticine, which I learned to hate because it's
not, layers and layers.
Layers and layers of plasticine applied with thumbs. I don't think I could pick
permanently stained thumbs.
Oh, it was just agony.